The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC Podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have the pleasure of your company once again. Coming to you from Lake 38, just outside Quincy, in the beautiful Gadsden County in Florida. As a matter of fact, they are the title sponsor for this, one of the title sponsors for this competition, the Lake 38 Pro, as part of the Water Ski Pro Tour, of course. And it is my pleasure once again to introduce to you, and not for the first time, he's probably been on this podcast probably more than any other skier or any other competitor that since his podcast originated a little under 200 episodes ago. And I introduce him for a special reason because of recent events. It's none other than Freddie Winter. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, Tony. Thank you for having me once again.
indeed. So, where should we start off? I mean, it's been a while since we talked on the TWBC podcast. A lot has happened. You were kind of out of the scene a little bit. Well, actually, a whole lot last season. Let's not sugarcoat that. But recent events, winner of the Masters. Obviously, you're still coming down a little bit from that high, I would imagine. But what's life been like for you within the last 5 or 6 days since that victory on Callaway Gardens, Rodman Lake?
It's been mostly good. Very happy, obviously, with the Masters. I've managed to get onto a new ski, onto the Neo 3 that I was. Didn't want to go into the Masters on it, just arrived a little bit too late. But I'm on that, and I feel very good on it, so I'm excited for this weekend. Quick shout out to my dad, who's been in hospital this week. He collapsed his lung in a ski crash. The crash was last Saturday, so 6 days ago, but it happened on Monday. So I was driving back from the Masters and had the bad news that he was in hospital and having to have an operation. So
this didn't involve a doc, did it?
No, it didn't hit it. No, it wasn't a doc, no, fortunately. But he did, he fell off and busted his, yeah, he broke six ribs. And so it's been a sort of a, honestly, a bit of a strange few days. Obviously the high of you know, achieving a big dream and winning the Masters and getting the first victory after the incident last year. And but then also kind of, you know, my poor dad, a bit worried about him. But he's okay now, so that's good. He's out of the woods, it seems like, and that's very exciting. That's the best news possible.
Yeah, life kind of does that a little bit, you know. It keeps you honest a little bit, you know, in that respect, you know. I mean, you can't, you enjoy the brilliant highs, you know, with the Masters, and then click of your finger, it will just take you right back down to earth in a hurry and with a bump.
Absolutely. I was driving south. I just had my Masters trophy sitting next to me in the passenger seat, and I was thinking to myself,
"Yeah, you put the seatbelt on that one."
I put the seatbelt on, yeah, just to make sure it stayed safe. It weighs about 100 pounds, so you know, just make sure it fits in there nicely. But no, it was funny. I was driving south and thinking, "Okay, I'll just fill up for some gas, get some food. You know, life's good." And then I get a phone call from my mum. So it was a bit. It's been a strange week. Lots of highs and lows, but I mean, overall, you know, Dad's doing well, and that's the main thing. So very happy.
All right, there. So, I mean you and the Masters competition. Let's just not sugarcoat it this way. You know, the relationship between you and the Masters competition is a little complicated in recent times. But you came in with the determination that you wanted to do something special, you know, considering what had happened that took you out of the game last summer. So for those of you that are tuning into the podcast, you know, for the very first time and are like wondering what the heck he's talking about, let's try and go back a few months a little bit and try and condense down that little story, and then kind of like the need for you to kind of redeem yourself and get back into the game in that vein.
Yeah, I mean, I can say that, you know, since the 26th of June last year, when I hit that dock in the south of France and broke my leg, every, you know, second, really, I mean, genuinely, every second of every day, I've been, sounds cheesy, but I've been, you know, focusing on what it's got to take me to win the next event. And, you know, I didn't want to be robbed of my opportunities in the future by that incident. I have worked, you know, extremely hard, I can tell you, to try and, you know, be back to the level that I have previously been at. And that's been a, you know, it's been a big battle, but also, you know, the long way I've been very lucky. My leg healed very well, you know, where it may not have done, and even to where the surgeon was sort of surprised a little bit how well it had done. So, you know, that's all been very good. And you know, I came back to the water since I last saw you. I came back to the water in January and sort of, you know, I've been in the gym and stuff, but I really did find skiing hard at the start of this year. And I think if you'd have told me in February, at any point in February, that I would have won, that I was, you know, going to win the Masters a couple months later, I'd have said you're insane. Because I mean, I was really struggling, and I was like, you know, am I ever going to be able to do this properly again? You know, I was kind of running 10.75, but, you know, badly and not, you know, with no fluency. And then something sort of clicked after Moomba, and I've just been slowly building and building, and, you know, hopefully I'm at a good level. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, you talk about the Masters, it was a fun one to win because of
complicated,
you know, yeah, complicated history. And I, you know, I almost didn't enter it. I mean, you know, with these,
what?
With the qualifying series, that, you know, it's not it's not controversial to say that they're pretty unpopular with a lot of my fellow skiers. And I, you know, as the world champion, I thought I had assumed that I would get my entry, you know, be qualified already, but I wasn't. And when I saw that criteria, and that kind of made me think. And I had a chat with some of my
even someone like Nate Smith had to double check, you know, because I mean they changed the criteria to where if you're a world record holder, you could qualify, but you had to ski in a previous year's Nautique event.
Yeah, and there was, for a couple of years, the world record holder wasn't qualifying automatically. So, it, you know, it sort of changed. The funny thing about it is you find out what the qualifying criteria is at the end of the year, once all the tournaments are done. So you don't really understand how all that works. So it's like you can't sort of plan ahead. So I, you know, I had thought that, you know, as previous, that the world champion would get in, but I wasn't in. So I had a chat with some of my, you know, my friends and the people that I trust in water skiing and actually some of my sponsors, and I sort of said, you know, what do you think? And one of them said to me, you know, if you're not going to even enter the qualifiers, I understand why you wouldn't want to do it, but if you're going to do it to make a statement, don't, you know, that's a bad statement, no one will remember. So anyway, in the end I entered and I got in last spot, and yeah, and I went, and I'm very glad I did, because it all sort of worked out. So no, it was good in the end. Good in the end, certainly.
Kind of recall the trip that you started to make towards Robin Lake at Callaway Gardens. You know, I mean, most pro skiers normally arrive at like the front of Friday evening, you know, in anticipation of the skiers meeting, that kind of thing. Kind of give me a little bit of a sense of what the vibe was like in that room, you know, when I'm guessing there were more than a few people like coming up to shake your hand and said well welcome back, hope you're okay, but they probably weren't too optimistic of your chances given the nature of what you did to yourself in June of last year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, someone I ski with a lot in the UK, Steve Glanfield, texted me after the event and said to me that, you know, anyone that he, you know, when he was congratulating me for the win, he said anyone that knows me would be knew I was gonna, you know, come back as hard as I could, and that I, you know, if there was one person that could come back with determination, I mean, because I love it so much, that it would be me. So yeah, I mean, I think that maybe some people might have doubted that I would be back, and I mean, I certainly did at some points too. But I think also I've kind of been building in. I had a good weekend at the Swiss Pro where I came third, came fourth at Moomba, having had, you know, basically a month and a half of skiing. So, you know, it's been there. But if I'm going to be completely honest with you, if you talk about the journey, you know, coming into the Masters, I didn't really think I was going to win. I really thought that I was just, you know, trying to make the finals and see where I was, and just to feel good about being in that elite, you know, four that make the final. It was a very good field this year to really, you know, show my progress. But I mean, yeah, if I'm being honest with you, I didn't turn up there on Friday evening thinking, you know, like I have most of the years, going, I'm going to win this tournament, or I'm really in the mix to win this tournament. I was able to But I, you know, made it through the first round, and I was like, oh, okay, here we go. I'm skiing good. Like, I felt good out there, and here we go.
Yeah, because I mean, from what I could see on the webcast and everything, and I was watching the webcast religiously, as I typically do, and it was more like a war of attrition more this year than most with some of like the name competitors, you know, falling at the first hurdle, you know, in the first round of the Masters. And I mean, and I think you just hinted upon it yourself just a few moments ago that after you performed and you got 2:41, 2:10.25 minutes, I mean, you know, what was going through your mind there? You were like thinking, okay, game on here. This might actually turn out to be pretty darn good.
For sure. I mean, you know, when you can win a first round of a tournament, especially the Masters, you know, your first thought is, okay, I'm in this. And I had seen, you know, Jamie Bull and Whitney go down in the first round, and they're such unbelievable skiers that I was surprised to see it. And then I went out and skied, and I did what I needed to do, and I wasn't really thinking about what anyone else was doing. I just knew that as soon as I got out the gates at 39 that I had made the finals, and that's what I cared about in that moment. And then I saw Will go down, which I was very surprised about. He's, you know, as good of a skier as anyone, and I was surprised to see that. So yeah, I mean, it, you know, you win the first round by a couple of boys, and you start thinking. But then the next thought is, okay, well, I'm going out last tomorrow. That's going to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be able to hold it together, and that's going to be, you know, it really is hero or zero moment. You know, when you're going out last, because you have everything to do, and it's there in your hands. But you know, if you don't do it, then you feel really, really bad. But again, it was managed to just about hold it together, and it, you know, happily I was able to get it done.
And into the finals, I mean, you mentioned last off the dock. I mean, you got the who's who of slalomers, you know, that are qualified into the final. I mean, normally the slalom event is like the fourth event off on any typical finals day. You got the women's tricks, men's tricks, women's slalom, men's slalom. You had a whole, you almost had half a day to kind of, you know, prepare yourself a little bit for what was about to happen in the Masters. So, you know, one by one, go through some of the skiers, go through the skiers that actually competed against you one by one, you know, and kind of what you were thinking as each one laid down their best possible score, and then it came leading up to your performance.
Well, I watched the women first, and I saw Regina Jaquist struggle. I mean, again, you're just like, well, how is this happening? Regina's so accomplished, and I was surprised to see that. I'm like, well, you know, what's it like out there? And then Vanessa came over and she goes, you know, it's okay, it's not bad out there. And so I was like, all right, okay. Nate went out first, and he, you know, I think it's fair to say that I probably had him fingered as the guy to beat. He's, you know, the best skier on a lot of days that I've been skiing against him. He's ended up as the best skier, and he's, you know, I knew that kind of whatever he did, I was going to have to go and beat. You know, when he ran two, I thought, well, I've got two lefties coming up. They're going to come over to boy two. If they're really able to turn two at 41, that's going to, you know, that'd be really, really impressive. So I kind of thought, if I can get around three, I'll be in the mix here. So, you know, Cole went off and Dane, and they didn't, you know, quite get to Nate's level, and I knew that if I ran 10.75, I was in it. I was on the podium. I would have been second, actually. And then from there, I mean, I can tell you that coming in at 10.25, I mean, you know, there's a lot going on. I mean, like, in some ways, everything that happened last year, I mean, like, there were certainly times where I doubted if I'd ever be in the mix to compete in these levels, even as a contender, not as a potential winner. So I really just try to enjoy it. Whereas in other years, I've got into the Masters, you know, kind of with all the stuff that we don't need to go into it anymore, but all the stuff that's happened where it's been, you know, let's say very controversial. And
yeah,
I think I've ended up on the wrong end of some contentious decisions. But this time I was just like, you know what, just go enjoy it. You know, there's a huge crowd. It's a great venue. It's a lot of history. Let's just go and have fun. And so, and, you know, wherever I end up, it's still a victory to be here. So in some ways I kind of was able to take the pressure off myself a little bit. And so, you know, I'd previously maybe got to a level where, like, you know, I didn't really think, you know, if I wasn't winning, I was, you know, as much as that level's super high, like, I really wanted to win every event as much as I could. I've not ever been able to do that, but it's always been my aim. And now there's a little less pressure on me because I'm just like, well, I didn't think I was necessarily going to be here. So just go and get on the podium, go and push him and see what you can do. So I'm coming in at 10.25 and I went, suddenly I was like, oh shit, you know, this is the potential to be the greatest thing that you ever do in your life. You know, don't fuck it up.
So
I'm going, okay, like no internal narrative, you know, stop thinking about that. Okay, let's think about, you know, chest up on the pull out, keep my hands high, rotate through the handle, get over to boy one, just get any sort of one. I'm going to get over to two and turn the shit out of it and get around three. So excuse my language, but it was a very, very big moment in my life to kind of go, you know, I felt my heart beating, you know, in my chest, and it was, yeah, a huge amount of adrenaline, but I, you know, so happy to get it done. Getting around that boy three, I mean, like I said it in an Instagram post, it was the most emotional moment of my life. Like, I mean, just it went from being completely psyched up to just completely drained emotionally and feeling, you know, all that stress and sort of pain and worry and, you know, in bed for 3 months and the fear that I was going to go out not on my terms, and that's what I just didn't want to do, and I've been working so hard to come back and show to myself more than anyone else that I'm not going to have, you know, that doc beat me.
Yeah, a whole 11 months of emotional energy just manifested itself in a few seconds after that rope came out of your hands.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can say a bit embarrassing to have lost it in such a way. I don't think I've ever sort of been so unglued, certainly not in front of anyone else. And it was, you know, there was a few thousand people there to watch it, but it was, that feeling I will carry with me for the rest of my life. It really was an amazing thing to feel that. And I'm can't tell you how happy I am.
And I imagine that this third title that you've won at the Masters probably ranks up as the highest so far as where it ranks among your accolades right now.
Yeah, I mean, each of them was interesting because, I mean, yes, you're right, absolutely. But, I mean, the first one I had was the first one, so obviously that's very special. And I'd had some weird stuff happen there before up to that point. And then, you know, the second one, I ran 3.5:41, which is the best score ever in a final there. And, you know, that felt good to kind of go and do something like that was a big score. They keep talking about Chris Parrish's 4:41, but that was done in a preliminary round. So, mm-hmm. You know, I was proud of that. But then, this one for sure was the biggest. And I think, you know, probably it's still settling. Probably that World Championships in 2023 was held higher. I mean, it's a World Championship, but I mean, but that in terms of the sort of the having to go through what I had been through and to survive all that and to come out ahead of everyone was, you know, I think that will be maybe my most treasured victory, you know, at the end of my career.
Out of all the messages that you received, who transmitted the first one to you?
Oh, I feel terrible. I'm still replying to them slowly, but I had my one of my favorite one, Brooks Wilson texting me certified freak 7 days a week, which I just loved that. I thought it was so good. And then I was like walking down, you know, afterwards, and he grabbed me from behind.
We've got someone here who's making t-shirts. Maybe we can knock up one of those.
Yeah. I like that. That was a fun one. I mean, I had, you know, people are so generous. I mean, it's the only time that I've ever had so many messages as maybe this, you know, last Sunday and Monday was when I broke my leg, and you know, everyone was just so incredibly generous then as well. So I, you know, I really do feel that I've had people sort of with me, you know, on my journey to recovery, which I think, you know, now is complete in some ways. I can say I've recovered because I won a tournament again, and I won a big one. So that, you know, that's really the positivity I had. You know, I like just little things, but like, you know, Matty Gonzalez, last year he was 16 years old, and I'm sitting in bed, it's like sometime in August, 2 months since I hurt myself, and he sends me a voice note just saying like, hey Freddie, I was just thinking about you, and I really think you're gonna come back, and you know, I'm pulling for you. And I'm like, man, this kid's 16.
Yeah,
you know, he's unbelievable. And I mean, that was a really emotional thing to get, because you're just like, what a nice thing to receive from someone. He's, you know, he that year won a couple of pro tournaments and just been a, you know, he's hundreds of other ones just like that, just amazingly kind from people that were you know, really, really putting for me.
Indeed. So someone's even trying to message me right now. I'm gonna let that go for a few minutes, but there we go. So rest of the season, you've got Lake 38 here, an event that I think you've probably won this before, haven't you? Or?
Twice, yeah. You've twice. 19 and 21.
19 and 21, okay. So obviously looking to put a third title here at in Quincy in the beautiful county of Gadsden in Florida. So transitioning from an event such as the Masters to a relatively smaller event such as this one here at Lake 38. I mean, how does that manifest itself?
I don't know if it is smaller. I mean, the Masters. It's certainly a big one. But you know, we're in a. There's probably less. There's gonna be less people on site, and there's a little less history here. But you know, this is a great event. We've been coming here since 2018, and you know, it's got a big history now. There's been some great webcasts, been some great moments here. We're so lucky to have all these tournaments. You know, talk about the schedule. I mean, there's tournaments like every weekend. Now, next weekend is Monaco.
Yeah.
next weekend is Morocco. And there's a weekend off. And we're going to Spain, to Madrid, and then there's for the Botas tournament. And then there's San Gervasio.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. You know, there's a lot going on. And I think that, you know, I'm not sure there's necessarily a hierarchy. We're just very happy that everyone's putting them on and giving us the opportunity to compete.
Yes, indeed, and a big shout out to Keith Orbiton and the good folks here for putting in the effort once again to make Lake 38 happen, and indeed all of the organisers are going down the line that will be making events such as one of the next ones coming up, Morocco, which I'll be making a second visit to that country, but it's going to be. It's going to be
a different.
It's going to be a skosh different. It's going to be a saltwater river.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. I mean, like last year was on a perfect lake. We saw the first 41 of the year run by Will right in front of me, and it was amazing. And this year is going to be. I'm not sure it's going to be any 41s run.
Well, I mean, we can certainly give it a try. You know, I mean, you just don't know about the. About this site. I mean, not too many people do. I mean, I know that Vince and Clint and Benny have all been over there to set up the course and everything, and they've gotten pretty much everything done and ready to go, so that when you guys roll up in a few weeks' time, then you'll be ready and raring to go.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like you said, like. We had the Masters last week, which is in rolly conditions. It's very tricky over there. It's also fairly known quantity because we've been there so many times. Then we turn up here, and this is a known quantity. It's a flat lake. It's going to be great. There's going to be great scores. I think in Morocco, it's, you know, from what I understand, it's going to be a bit tricky. But that's what's so great. It's going to be in front of a ton of people. I've seen video of the site. It looks brilliant. You know, that we're getting water skiing out there, and you know, we shouldn't just be skiing in backyard tournaments, backyard lakes. Where, I mean, this is literally a backyard lake, and we're going to have great scores here, and it's, you know, wonderful. It's webcast, but getting in front of people is also fantastic. And well done to Vince and everyone and Hisham and all the people organising that for putting on an event which is going to be different. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be fairly unique, but it's going to be also pretty bloody great, I think.
Yes, and this is a world year.
It is a world year. You know, significantly, it is a world year, yeah.
Yes, indeed. So, I mean, you are the two-time world slalom champion. Important to mention that because you certainly made mention of that more than once when you actually won the second title in 2023, that you basically said now that people will think that this is a little bit more than that. This is not a fluke anymore. You've won world. You've won two. Now let's see if you can knock down a third.
Well, I think it's. I would hope that my career. You know, I've had enough wins in my career that people wouldn't say that I had fluked the first world championships. But I mean, it was in France. It was very rolly and what sort of thing. And I think probably more my thinking is that you know, when you won a world championship once. And then you know, someone else wins the next one, you're a former world champion. Well, when you win two, then you're a two-time world champion, and that stays with you forever. So, you know, but three would be nicer than two. I said to myself last year, you know, that was a big silver lining for me, was that when I broke my leg, that it wasn't a world year, and I didn't, you know, I'd be, you know, if I'd have broken my leg a year prior and missed that world championships, I'd have been, you know, even more, I mean, like beyond devastated. It would have been a lot harder of a pill to swallow. So that was the silver lining I took, and I knew that I'd be, doing my best to get ready for this Worlds in August in Italy, and certainly my plan is to be as strong as possible for that, and I think I've made a good start to the year building in, and you know, I've probably got to get my boy count up than what I've shown in tournaments so far, but it's there and the hard work continues. So yeah, I mean, like, I think all to play for, and I'm going to be working harder than anyone. I know that.
And I mean, it's probably hard to say, at this point in the proceedings so far as the season has gone. But beyond the World Championships, I mean, you're probably going to. I mean, you've got the Travers Grand Prix,
Mastercraft Pro,
and of course Mastercraft Pro. Of course, let's big shout out to your sponsors, Mastercraft Boats. So beyond that scale, you normally have your off season pretty much planned out. Can the same be said this time around?
It's funny. I was just talking to Dad about it this morning because he's not going to be able to ski for 6 months. So we're going to go to the Ashes in Australia.
Oh,
we're going to. Hopefully, well, you know, pending getting tickets and all sort of stuff, but there's 2 5-day cricket matches that are going to happen end of November, start of December, that we'll go, and then we'll go ski probably with Ryan and Sarah Green in Perth, because the first test is in Perth.
Okay.
So that'll be end of November, December. I'll probably do a trip to Thailand on either side of that with some friends and get in some trouble. So that's kind of the
not too much trouble.
No, not
please.
Too much trouble. But you know, the thing is, you know, when you're with your mates, no one's filming you. You know, you can hopefully
not that you know of.
So yeah, we'll have some fun. But that's the working plan. It's nothing in stone just yet.
All right then, and this has been the TWBC podcast, the latest episode of, and this has been Freddie Winter along with me here, Tony Lightfoot. And before you go, anything else you want to mention?
Not really. I mean, I would say thank you to everyone that's been so kind to me, sending me messages when I got hurt, especially, and then this week also. And shout out to Dad to, you know, full recovery, and you know, well, looking forward to catching up with him in a few weeks.
All right then, and that brings to a conclusion this podcast episode. The next episode will probably also come to us from Lake 38 as the tournament progresses along. But for me, for now, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.